Any questions for staff? Okay, applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use your laser?
I think there's actually one up. Did you pull one up there? Okay.
Hello. Again, my name is Brad Perkins. I'm here with my wife, Gina, and some of our children. We are the applicants for the Raspberry Hill Resort and campground, hopefully. Turn to the next slide, please, Emily. All right. This is the, as she was just showing, this is the exact same layout. There's a little bit of a zoom in on just the house addition and event center, which we discussed at our last meeting. And then down here is the proposed layout for commercial cabins, and then a few RV spots. Emily, next slide, please. This is, with regards to the flood hazard, this is the current FEMA flood hazard. There is the existing house. I just printed this off of the Beacon website today, so this is as recent as the county map is. This is where the floodplain is. None of our construction would occur within the floodplain. It would be right along here. There is a very, very light road that trail path. It's not really a road. There's a light path that goes right along this, and that's what our new one would follow. And it would be just outside of the floodplain. We're not going to be building anything within a floodplain. I couldn't get insurance for it if we did. So we're going to be outside of this floodplain, and we're going to use the existing area. These trees back here were planted by the previous owner, or current owner, I should say, and they're part of a forest preserve. We're going to leave that alone. The only trees, there's a few that are standing dead trees that are in here, some types of pine that have died. We're going to be removing those because they create a fire hazard. And then there's some ash trees that we might look at culling if we're worried about the emerald ash borer. But by and large, the treed area here is going to stay in place, and we're going to build in and around the trees that are here. Some of these are quite small, you know, typical Iowa, the hardy pines, the shorter ones that could easily be moved with a tree spade. But by and large, we're going to leave mature trees like the oaks that are along through here. They're going to stay in place, and our intent is to build in and around them. Next slide, please. Okay. Here's the event center that we discussed last time. We'll go through these fairly quickly. Next slide, please. The addition, four-bedroom addition. Next slide, please. All right. Let's get to the cabins. The cabins are going to be approximately 500 square foot each. This is an artist rendering of what they would look like tucked back in the trees with a fire pit perhaps in the center that's stone. Each of these would be approximately 9 feet to the eave. Next slide, please. And then we have two basic plans, a single bedroom, one that is 450-ish square feet, and then maybe a two-bedroom that would be right around 700 square feet. Next slide, please. Both would have one single bedroom. One of the questions that was brought up at our previous meeting and also today, as previously mentioned, the existing property is served by Xenia Rural Water, and which has a 30 gallons a minute maximum flow rate, which the letter from Xenia, I think, was in your information packet. It also has an on-site well, which has been tested. The current owner has tested it, capable of providing an additional 20 gallons a minute. The event venue will have a 4,400 square foot roof with gutters and downspouts. One of the I'm a professional mechanical engineer, and one of the things in designing buildings, it seems like old things are now suddenly becoming like new technology, like the idea of a cistern. Iowa State, for their new buildings, does 20,000 gallon cisterns on the west side of the university. My proposal is to collect this rainwater. A 1-inch rain event would result in 2,750 gallons of water. Next slide, please. 2,750. Was there a slide skipped in there with the bathrooms? Maybe it'll come later. That's all right. There we go. So at 50 gallons a minute peak through Xenia and the existing well, we would be able to serve water for 33 different showers at the same time, which would more than exceed what we would need. But also, if we were to run out of water for some of our growth, we could always add another well. I don't think we'll need it, and this will be as we add cabins one at a time. Should the need arise, we could always add existing wells for water service. At a low flow, EPA certified showerhead only uses 1.5 gallons a minute, so that would be enough for all of the showers plus some. Next slide, please. This is an example of an EPA certified water sense low flow fixture, something that would only use that 1.5 gallons a minute. Some are even lower, but this ends up being a good shower fixture. Next slide, please. So here's a 2,400-gallon vertical plastic storage tank that my intention is to put it above the bathrooms in the event center. At using a total 1.28 gallons per flush water closet, that ends up being, 1,875 toilet flushes off of every one-inch rain event. The nice part about this is that why pay for clean and pure water just to put it through a toilet? I mean, that's one of the reasons why cisterns are now once again becoming popular as a good water-saving measure. It also makes for good water to use for irrigation for the landscaping that we're going to be doing adjacent to the event center. So even at, let's say that there was a 300-person event, for a normal event going from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., most guests will only be on the property for 4 hours. However, even if all four restrooms were used once every 10 minutes during an event from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., that is 384 trips using 492 gallons of water a day. So that one storage tank would be good for in excess of five days at full capacity. Next slide, please. This is an example of an EcoPure CocoPeat biofilter, a peat filter septic system, fairly common. I use this one because when helping with the layout for a rural country church in Iowa, they had something on the lines of 8 or 10 water closets, and this was used for their system. It's in Boone County, which different rules and different regulations, but I want to say they also went through the DNR. That's been a few years. Obviously, this would have to pass any current DNR standards, but this would be an example of, this happens to be a 600 gallon per day filter that treats water and discharges it without laterals safely according to the EPA. Next slide, please. Here's an example of such a system getting put in with a dosing, with a main peat system, and then a dosing tank next to it that would take the water and spread it over the peat filter itself. Next slide, please. These are available locally in Iowa, Lister Industries, Fairfield Precast. Several of the companies that carry normal precast concrete septic tanks also carry these as an alternative. So they are available locally. Now, with regards to the questions for fire hydrants, I met with the fire chief and the assistant fire chief for the West Story Fire Department out of Kelly. They met with me out there, and the one suggestion that they had that we are going to go with is what they called a dry hydrant off of the lake. This looks very similar to how it's going to be installed, but this is not the current pond. A dry hydrant allows a local fire department to pull up to it with their pumper truck, flush out the pipe, and then draw water into it. It allows it to sit there during freezing times. Without freezing, water level would be here buried under the ground, and they're able to refill their tanker trucks locally and rapidly. It was their suggestion, and being as most of the components here are 6 to 10 inch PVC, and the entire piping here is less than 20 feet of pipe, it seems like a pretty simple thing to do to add as much water capacity as they would like. Next slide, please. Here is a map of the area. Here is the subject property, just right southwest of the exit right here on the west side of Ames. Next slide, please. Okay. Just for scale, to give you an idea how close we're, like 1.7 miles over here to the Hilton Garden Inn. Next slide, please. Okay, and then here is an overhead view of, here is the subject property. Event center would be right here. Camp cabins would fall along this clear space down here. Here's a neighbor property. Here's a neighbor property. There's two up here, and there's some over here along South Dakota. Next slide, please. Just as one of the things about this particular location is how close it is to existing hotels. For an event of 300 people, the intent is not to have everybody park on the site. For the two couples that we have met with regards to future planning for their weddings, both of them were interested in contracting with CIT service or maybe even a shuttle from the hotels, either way, to run back and forth between the venue and here to minimize the amount of traffic on the road. And also, on purpose, we only have, excluding cabins, we only have about 60 parking spots on site. And once again, that's to encourage people to take a bus and not drive, to minimize congestion on the road. But also, if it's a wedding and if a couple is serving alcohol, this would eliminate driving and just make everything safer. You'll notice there's a hotel here and then another hotel here. Next slide, please. This is the sleep-in suites. This is the Hilton Garden Inn. Over here we have apartments, and over here we have a neighboring single-family house. Next slide, please. With regards to distances between single-family dwellings and some type of commercial lodging, if you will, these are both right around just under 800 feet in between the two. If we look at here, next slide, please. Right, and if we look at mine here in another slide or two, don't bother turning yet. We are the event center is over 1,000 feet away from all neighboring single family dwellings. If we look here at the Greenbelt Park and Christopher Garner Park and the associated trail that goes along here, next slide, please. We can find that there are examples in the nearby area where people are encouraged to go hiking very, very close to single-family dwellings. In fact, here there are picnicking facilities, camp or play areas, and other areas where children may very well be making noise in a park that are fairly close to single-family dwellings. Next slide, please. There's an overview of this area with a hiking trail that matches up to the other to other parts of Ames. Next slide, please. As a point of reference, here is, it's only, as the crow flies, 2,600 feet to the hotel. Next slide, please. And then this shows, this is from Google Earth, this really shows the buffer between any neighbors in this direction, but also the wooded area in between this section and the neighbors to the west. Let's do the next slide, please. Here's that open area with some sparse trees. There's that opening and some of the dead trees that we are going to have to remove and put in campsites. Next slide, please. All right, this is zooming in. Here would be the event center right here, the addition here. And then we're going to put the cabins kind of in between the trees along here with RVs over here. Notice the separation. Not only is there a barrier in quite a few trees in between here and the next adjacent property owner, but there's also a rise to the land that helps make a further physical barrier for noise and line of sight. Even today in winter, you could barely see that picture that they showed, barely sees the roof of the neighbor to the west. Next slide, please. All right, here's a close-up in this area where the event center is going to go here. This tree actually needs to be culled. It has some disease to it. And then we're going to go around the rest of the mature trees. Next slide, please. So here would be the center of the cabin area. Let's say that this next area was someday developed for residential housing, you know, that's still over 760 feet to any neighbor or that could be built as part of single-family dwelling someday. Next slide, please. As an example of campgrounds and single-family houses, I'd like to point out the Dakins Lake Park near Zeering. Dakins Lake Park is the facility that Storey County has approved funding to build cabins at their facility. Notice that this is just across the road from a residential area and also from a neighbor right by their campsites. Next slide, please. Here is the closest to the south, and in the next slide, we'll see how close we are to the adjacent property owner right by their campsites. Next slide, please. The one to the east is only 437 feet with no visible buffer in between the two in terms of forestry or hills. Going to the south,
Mr. Perkins, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yes.
But I think, you know, a lot of this with the event center and that sort of thing was approved last month.
It was.
In this group.
Yes.
I think the question that's before the board right now is your campground idea is somewhat of a violation of the urban fringe plan. I understand your water treatment, that sort of thing. But at the same time, you don't have a lake out there like Dakin's Lake.
No, I don't.
And
I have a small pond.
I really, as I look at the fabric, and I'm speaking to the board, you know, we're looking at this, why should we grant a conditional use permit on something that is a violation of our use plan, as well as our staff is saying, is recommending against it?
If you would allow me to... the Planning and Zoning Board did recommend approval, you know, and that's where I'm getting to make sure I've answered. The example here that I'm going to use...
We don't need to know all that information up at the Zeering. We need to know and concentrate on where we're at in Ames, Iowa.
Well, I would agree. And
I'm taking a time out. I don't know about the rest of that.
Oh,
minute.
Okay. We got a time out. Take a break.
Are we recessed for 10? Or?
Yeah, we're recessed for the moment.
Okay.
Let's stand back in order again.
All right.
Well, like I said, all I'm trying to do is cut to the chase. Zeering is you know, from a compatibility standpoint, rural area, that sort of thing, a little bit different names. And I guess what we're looking at is you look at the overall compatibility of it, and I really, that's what we're looking at from our standpoint.
Well, I wanted to use the Zeering example as, here, this is a close-up that staff provided me of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. And if you look at it, which will come to a slide here, a blow up, or a wider angle view of it, the area that I'm going to be building is on natural areas, right next to the area designated as urban. That is exactly the same, if you would turn to the next slide, please. Okay. In a second here, you'll notice that as part of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, everything that we are doing is south of the creek, which is in the Southwest 2 area. If you would turn to the next slide, please. All right. Skip the codes, if you would. I put in there the... There we go. If we look over here... Where this area doesn't show very well on the slide, but this is actually where I'm planning on building, is in that green space, which is a natural area. Which, if you look at the Zeering example, the Zeering is in a natural area, designated natural on the county plan, and is right next to residential single-family dwellings. And my point to prove here, could you turn to the next slide, please? As we look, Zeering... Here is the natural area right next to a rural area, or I should say a urban expansion area. Next slide, please. If we look at the overall plan for Storey County, and I know staff means this with all their hearts when they say they'd like to help me find a location, but the truth is, if you look at this, if we go outside of all the urban planning areas. And if we look at the open areas of Story County, next slide, please. Story County zoning, 90% of that unincorporated land is agricultural, mm-hmm. which I need to use by the permitting process. The conditional use permits are only allowed on land zoned A1 for both the bed and breakfast and the campground. The only zoning I can have. But according to the county plan, I can't take row crops or other agricultural production out of production. So I've had to find a place that is zoned agricultural but doesn't actually have current agricultural production going on. I have found a spot that is also a natural area where, in other examples in the county, we have allowed campgrounds. Now, those are ran by the county. I understand that. But to say that a campground isn't compatible with single-family dwellings, I don't think is completely accurate, because we have several examples in the county of single-family dwellings being right by campgrounds. Next slide, please. When we get to here in Story County, this is from the Cornerstone to Capstone plan, a citizen survey of, please indicate, this is when the Fringe plan came out, please indicate changes that you would like to improve the quality of life in Story County. The number one item on here, which is a little blurry on this, but it's recreational opportunities. Of all the different choices that residents of Story County had, including a lot of people from Ames, it wasn't jobs, it wasn't water quality, it wasn't schools, it wasn't transportation, it was recreational activities. Next slide, please. These are comments, you can't read them, so I summarized just a few. Next slide, please. These are comments from that Cornerstone to Capstone B1 citizen survey. We need a campground closer to Ames. There's not enough campgrounds. Now, of course, I've only picked, out of all those comments, I've only picked the ones that help my side, you know, but these are comments from Story County residents. Their number one concern isn't, hey, there's just not enough apartments to go to, right? There aren't enough houses to go to. There aren't enough recreational facilities close by. Next slide, please. If we look back here at this overhead view, what I am building is completely compatible with the urban fringe plan, and here's why. We are building slab on grade, 9 foot high, 500 square foot, barely bigger than a shed. Someday, if all of this across the way becomes residential, fine. They won't notice us. If all this becomes residential, also fine. Even if somebody can convince me to sell this part, right? The point is that nothing today that I build would stop someone from building, turning all of this into urban residential if they would like. Because here's the truth. This doesn't prohibit that from happening. Yes, they would have to buy me out, but that's the way economics work. This is currently zoned for what I want to do with it. The zoning is the law. The plan is an agreement for so that nobody else gets an economic disadvantage on someone else. Takes advantage of somebody, but not knowing someday this could be residential. Sure, it could. And nothing I do today will prevent that from happening. Right now, the owner of this property couldn't build a housing development on here if he wanted to. He's tried. And he's been denied. My point on why this is relevant is that land has to work. It's not about owning a big yard. I am trying to be a small businessman, and I'm trying to open a small business. Frankly, the process terrifies me. Okay, it does. I need economically to get as much done as I can on the land that I have. I need financially. I can have cabins, and if I built a cabin, tomorrow I could have a guest come and stay at it. If I build this event center, a year from now, somebody will come and get married there. But a lot of the big events are scheduled out months, if not years, ahead of time. Cabins can be done almost immediately. There is a need for it in this part of the county. It's not unprecedented and incompatible with future use. And besides, these cabins could easily be removed to build houses someday. If we would put other legal things here, like the current owner has talked about putting a hog lot over here, that would be more difficult to mitigate than my cabins. We could put a machine shed for agricultural equipment. We could put a stockyard for cattle. All of those things are possible. All of them would be allowed on the current use, and all of them could easily be removed at a future time. The reason I'm saying, and why I would like to think that the Planning and Zoning Commission agreed with me, is that this, nothing I'm doing, prohibits the future development of this as residential. Could I answer any questions for the board?
Any questions, board?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I've heard plenty.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
The current property owner is here.
I have one question.
Oh, sure.
Have you gentlemen culminated this sale?
No. We have an agreement.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's fine.
We have an agreement, but it's contingent upon being able to do the business I want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Emily, could I trust you to go back to, and impose on you, to go back to one of the pictures that showed the property all the way up to the highway? I know Brad had one up, but there's one in Brad's that would work fine. That'll work.
Okay.
Okay. First off, I want to, Doug McKay. 3016 Burnham Drive, Ames. And I'm speaking for my wife. I'm part of this. For myself, I'm part of this. My wife owns this 74 acres. She has granted permission, and Emily has the thing somewhere where that I'm able to speak for her. I got to figure out how to work this. Okay, somebody tell me how you do this. Huh?
There you go.
Ah, there. Very good. Too technical for me. My wife owns this property. That's what we've been talking about. This is the county line road right here. I own the property that goes from there, along here, down here, over to here. All of the ground south of Highway 30. And north of the 240th Street. My wife applied to have the, I'm trying to read my writing, I was scribbling and I'm not very good. The land use plan, she applied for an amendment to the land use plan, which is, as Emily pointed out, is the proper procedure to do this. The city turned it down. When the city turned it down, they said that we would have to put, that they put my ground and my wife's ground together. And they said both of us would have to agree to put all of this ground into the city limits and to have a buyout, arrange a buyout with Xenia Rural Water. Now, they said that we would have to have the buyout with Xenia Water would be negotiated between Xenia and the city, and we would have to pay for it. Now they said we individually would not have to pay for it, but like if I were to sell it to one of you, and you were going to develop it, you would have to make the payment because we had to sign off on it. Currently, that payment that Xenia has been getting is about. And it depends on who you talk to. Some people say $2,300, some people say $2,700 per dollar. So we'll say $2,500 per water meter that is installed on the property. Now, the way the city wants that property developed in their long-range plan, which has been in effect for 30 years or 20 years, they haven't done anything about. But they want 3.75 lots per acre. Now, in reality, you get about three because they don't count roads and stuff. But altogether, between my wife and myself, we own 250 acres there. Now, you do the figure. 250 acres at three lots per acre, 7,500 750 lots, times $2,500 per lot. And that's how much we have, the city wants us to sign off to pay Xenia, at least. Plus, as the city said, they want a little extra in case they have to pay a little bit more to Xenia, which they want to negotiate. That's why we didn't sign it. And that's why they said that we can't split this property off. We tried to split the house off 2 years ago. We had somebody who wanted to buy the house and 19 acres. I mean, that's what the survey showed it. And the city said, no, you can't do it unless you put all the property in the city limits and do that buyout. And when I asked them recently about with the land use plan, they gave us the same answer. You have to put all the ground in the city limits. The city's trying to control what we're doing. They're trying to control our land. And as Brad pointed out, this ground on this side of the creek, the city, 10 or 12 years ago did a sewer study about developing all this land. And their final thing, and they had all the neighbors, and some of the neighbors are here, they'll remember it too. The plan from the city was to come along, go up and go across Iowa State's property right up in here somewhere, I think. Come along there and then go up to 240th Street and come down like this with a main sewer line to take all this ground possibly into the sewer. The part for this side of the creek down here was sometime many years in the future when they were going to come down over here. Well, they would have had to come over here. They were talking about Dartmoor Road, I believe, and come down here and then come up and go down this road. This road, this piece right here belongs to Iowa State University. That's not likely to be coming into the city limits. So anyway, that's why I'm just trying to explain why the city didn't allow a change in the plan, because they're trying to say, hey, you can't do it because we don't want it. We want you to put all your ground in the city limits. And it seems to me they should be considering the ground separate. I mean, if you owned it, why would that, should that affect this other piece of ground? Somebody asked about the bridge. It's not really a bridge. There are 3 4-foot culverts and 1 2-foot culvert that go under the driveway. It was built specifications to the county engineer at the time, and it's had huge cement trucks go across it. It had huge all sorts of trucks go across it when we built our house. About the ground being taken out of production. Yeah, I used to farm all of that. Lost my little spot. There were 2 pieces I used to farm. One was on this side of the creek that was like, I think, 31 acres. There were 29 acres on this side of the creek. I had to stay quite a ways away from the creek because I would guess where Brad wants to build the homes, it must rise about 10 feet above the normal creek level, and when the creek floods, it's still 6 feet above the normal level. And I farmed all of this where these trees are. I think it was in 1989, maybe 90, somewhere right in there. I don't know whether you're familiar, probably familiar with the Conservation Reserve Program. Personally, I like the idea of somebody paying me not to work. And so I said, okay, if you'll pay me to take my ground out of production and plant it in trees, I'll do it. And so I planted trees there. I planted all these trees here. I planted trees over here and many acres over in Boone County. I did used to farm this, so I'm very familiar with the lay of the land through here. And any other questions for me?
Just a question between you and Mr. Perkins.
Sure.
On the water situation,
and I'm familiar with some of these situations in the area. Is Xenia able to provide you sufficient water for this program, or is there your plan with your cisterns and that sort of thing an effort to supplement the water because you question whether they can provide sufficient water?
Well,
but the other question is Xenia going to be charging you additional for additional meters? Are you going to have additional meters?
They told me I'd have to upsize the meter. There's a $500 charge for upsizing the meter to get to that 30 gallons a minute value that they sent in the letter. I'm taking Xenia at their word. You know, I mean, that's what they sent me. My experience as a mechanical engineer with most municipalities, usually they're very conservative in their values. So I don't have a question as to whether or not I can get 30 gallons a minute. 30 gallons a minute will do the bed and breakfast and the addition. And the whole reason I want to use the cistern, to be honest, it's a good way to minimize the amount of runoff I have off of the building. I put it into that cistern. I've got to flush toilets anyway. Why use it if I've got all this water? Why not use it for flushing toilets instead of buying it from Xenia? If any of you are on Xenia, Xenia is not exactly cheap. So, you know, with the amount of people that I'd have, if I can flush all those toilets for free, why not do it? And if that saves up water that I could use for showers, why not do that as well? Right. These are all things that are easily handled. I design these things for a living, and I'm not worried about the water value. I know this board had some questions about it last time. That's why I went into that detailed analysis to make sure that I'm confident that we can make that work.
Now I understand where you're coming from your analysis.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Make one other little point about the culverts. I sent him a letter because every once in a while it does, I think, like I said, I think it was four times in the last 20 years, it's come over the road there, partly because there are beavers around and they keep plugging up the culverts. But if I keep them closed, the culverts are also at a low spot, and I stepped it off a few weeks ago, so it's not totally accurate, but that's about 150 feet. That is level above the culverts. So even when the creek gets a 6-inch rain right upstream from it, it might go over that whole area, but it doesn't do it for very long because that's a lot of water and it takes it away. And so, you know, it really hasn't been a problem.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other comments right now of the staff before I start asking for public?
I guess we would like to point out the natural area does extend along the creek. The urban residential, which looks more green on your screen.
It's actually a peach color.
Yeah, it is on the south side of the creek there.
Okay.
And in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, development is not encouraged or supported in natural areas, so that's something that could not happen under that designation under natural areas.
All right. Okay, comments from the public. Please limit them to 10 minutes.
Greg Urbanian, 317 6th Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, here on behalf of the Kolenskys. Emily, did my document make it into the official record?
Yes, so I emailed it with the other comments today to the board.
Okay, I have no further comment.
All right, thank you. Others?
Hi, my name is Mike Stott. I'm with SBNA Architects at 1421 South Bell Avenue in Ames. Have been retained by Mr. Perkins to work on some of the design aspects of their development here. I just wanted to address just a few things of note that might bear a little bit of clarification or attention. Just noted by staff, the location of the cabins and the campground are certainly within the setbacks there on the plan. I want to talk a little bit about the camping. As noted by city staff, I'm sorry, county staff, that the camping certainly involves activities like hiking and cooking and camping and parties and music and cooking and those types of things. I was the architect about 8 years ago for a development, about a 33.5-acre development, about half this size, off of Magnolia Road. It was a youth camp off of Magnolia Road in Boone County near the Des Moines River. Surrounding the camp that we did, there are many 2-acre to multiple acre parcels that have single family homes on them as well. We went through a very similar process, conditional use permit, board of adjustment, and there was a lot of discussion about late night noise, lights, potential for parties, etc. However, the CUP was granted and the board of adjustment approved it. The reality for the camp now, the reality for that is in place today, for the past 8 years, that camp has activities that run late into the night with screaming girls playing capture the flag. It has a lighted pavilion. They do a lot of cooking, campfires. They do a lot of hiking. Okay, it's a girls' youth camp. Right. The neighbors have noted that they really, and the camp owners, they pull the neighbors and they have events that invite the neighbors to be a part of the camp. The neighbors have noted that they rarely see or hear anything, and they wonder if the camp is even being utilized, okay? Meaning that the location and use of this camp has had nearly no impact on the surrounding property owners relative to noise and activity. This case study represents only half of this amount of land, about 33.5 acres, and accommodates up to about 180 campers at full capacity in open cabins, tents, and RVs. Interestingly enough, our proposed site is twice the number of acres, providing pretty much twice the amount of buffer for the neighbors, with half the amount of potential users in the camping in the cabins area when it's at full occupancy. I just thought that was interesting to note. The staff noted that if approved, the additional landscaping would be required in the amount of 20% of the impervious area. And Mr. Perkins fully agrees with the staff to provide that additional landscaping per what they'd be required, which can certainly be accomplished by finding areas among all the existing trees and shrubs to plant additional trees and shrubs to meet that requirement, certainly. To add a little bit of perspective to the traffic count, based on, and I appreciate county staff understanding from the DOT what those trips are per day, essentially 60 traffic count of about 60 per day. And if you take essentially 18 waking hours, not 24 hours in a day, but 18 waking hours in a day, that amounts to about 3.2 vehicles per hour on that road today. All right. 100% increase, as the county staff said would happen, that then calculates to about 6.4 cars per hour along that road. By way of clarification, the additional 100 to 150 vehicles for venue traffic would be each day that the facility is utilized, not every day of the week, just the days that the facility is utilized. And so over, say, a 6 to 8 hour time of the venue being used would be about 12.5 to 25 additional vehicles per hour, depending on the size of the venue. So I deduced from that the additional impact from traffic is relatively low when you look at it, when you really break it down into reality of cars. We're certainly going to comply with all the parking requirements on the area there. We talked a little bit about building and building codes. It's important to note that Story County has not adopted a building code, but Mr. Perkins has retained our architectural firm to design and provide stamped architectural and engineering drawings and documents for all the building aspects of this development. He's also retained a licensed civil engineer for all the site improvements. As a registered design professional in the state of Iowa, we're utilizing the International Building Code that's been adopted by the state by many cities, and part of the International Code Council of Codes, meaning you've got mechanical, plumbing, electrical codes all within that family of codes. By utilizing these standards, we do protect and safeguard the health, safety, and welfare of persons. And note the language in paragraph B1 of staff's report of your residing. Okay, we safeguard the health, safety, and welfare of persons residing or working both on the subject property as well as the adjoining and surrounding properties. All these buildings are built to code and exceed standards of just, you know, sheds or things like that. They're built, certainly built to a code there. If I may make an additional personal note, in my capacity with my church, I've had the opportunity to meet and work with young couples preparing for marriage and youth who are graduating from high school and also young single adults who are graduating from college. In nearly all cases, a common concern is the need for venues such as this to provide a wonderful kind of pastoral, peaceful venue to help make weddings, open houses, and graduation events memorable, but also to effectively accommodate their family and guests, family and friends, especially because most of these events are going to have older family members. They're going to have elderly there, and so thus the desire for this owner to provide fully accessible, handicap-accessible facilities here. This development will fill a growing need here in central Iowa, and its quality will certainly complement future development in the surrounding land with its park-like setting and views. And indeed, it will not only complement, but may indeed improve the opportunity for future development that is consistent with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. And that concludes kind of my presentation, but I'd like to ask if you have any questions for me. Thank you.
My name is Kenny Klein. I'm the fire chief of Westbury Fire Agency in Kelly, as well as the mayor of Kelly. I did meet with him this weekend, and we went over the facilities, you know, the map. The turnaround is big enough. Everything's, well, you know, suit my vehicles, you know, to get around with ease, to get around to get any part that might catch fire, you know, as far as I do have off-road vehicles that we use as well for fighting fires that are out in the timbers as well. So I think it's, to me personally, you talk about the way that the changing of the way it's taxed, would actually generate money for my department, which, as Ames keeps taking sections and sections out, lowers my budget every year. So to see something like this would increase my budget. You know, when a new truck is $300,000, it costs me, you know, $10,000 a year to suit 8 men, and then every year I got to do that 10, you know. So any bit like this helps my bottom line on the fire department tremendously. So, and as far as fighting the fire, I'd say there's my idea for the dry hydrant, as well as there's hydrants right that cul-de-sac in Ames, that motel is that we used when we had an appear fire, as well as there's one on Lincoln Way at that frontage road by the outdoor place. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there's a hydrant out there that we've used as well to fight fires out in that area. The refill tankers are bringing it around, and, you know, I see no, you know, as far as fires go, we have the capabilities to cover in that area, and, you know, with our 2080 agreement, we'd be calling Slater, Gilbert, Huxley in as well, you know, as needed, you know, to help shuttle water if necessary. But with that pond there, I just think that would be just a tremendous opportunity to save a lot of time on getting water there if there was happened to be a, you know, a major fire. Knocking wood, there's not. But that's all I really had. Is there any questions you had for me that questioning on what we need to do or what, you know, my capabilities are as a department?
Can I answer my question? All right. My name is Ryan Galing. I live at 3324 Preston Circle in Ames, and I am an active member of the Ames community. I'm a small business owner, and I'm also the father of two daughters, and I want you guys to all know that I do strongly support Raspberry Hill Resort, and I'll explain some of the reasons why. Really, everything that I see on there is something that my family could benefit from. You know, we're outdoors people, so we're the type of family that will go to these cabins. You can go to Don Williams over in Boone County, or you can go to the lake just north of, or south of Webster City. The name escapes me at the moment. They have cabins there that you can rent for the weekend. And I guess my experience with those cabins is that it's not rowdy people. There's no partying. Most of it's family time. And that's what we do. We have campfires. We'll use the pond. We'd go fishing. We'd enjoy it. It'd be relaxing. And I'm sure that they'll have rules, too, that would, you know, prevent people from being loud or having parties out there. That's not the point at all. That's just one of the positives that we see and that we would benefit from. I love the idea of the small convention center. As a small business owner, we like to hold fundraisers. We like to have client events. And I'll be honest with you, we struggle with those things in this community. Jethro's just opened. That's really been one of the nicest places that we've been able to hold some of our client events. And it's brand new because there's very few options. So I want you to strongly consider that as well. And the bed and breakfast is always going to be fantastic. You know how popular bed and breakfasts are and the Airbnbs are right now, so that'll be obviously a huge success. But that's all I have to say. I just want you to know that I strongly support it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Kim Christensen. I live at 2985 South Dakota Avenue. We have about a quarter mile that is adjacent to this property to the east. And we have two of the houses that are of the five that are fairly close to it. So we've been very involved in this area, as with Doug, over the last 35 years. I realize this area is very controversial with the city and how the city has become more involved in the county property. And I was not aware back in 2006 when the whole fringe program, even though we lived there, I don't know why, but somehow we completely missed the whole development of this urban fringe program that was put. And we certainly did not understand all the property rights that were involved that we ended up losing as a result of that. And as time went by, there's been a number of times where the city has tried to put together large pieces of property to cram other non-interested property owners into the city. And some of those have been thwarted off. When we got a environmental study showing the value of the World Creek Basin, so that they weren't going to put their sewer up the World Creek and try to bring the whole property in that way. And that's when what Doug was alluding to, when they went to the south and the north side of the creek for when and if that is ever developed. Which is the next question, of course, when and ever it's developed. So with all that kind of in the background, the first thing the city has done is they have these natural areas. The area this property is in, and most of where a lot of the property that we have, is really designated to be a park. I mean, that's what the city is hoping that would be, or that's what the city employees that were there then do. Now, keep in mind, the city changes their mind quite often. And the property right across from the junior high was all zoned for individual homes. But there was enough power by whoever was involved that's all apartments now. So and the same thing that's happening in the downtown area where there's going to be apartments where there used to be commercial. So the city can change its mind and change on a dime when it so desires. In this particular case, I think we really need to be honest. It isn't a matter of is this compatible to the city's wishes of what they think might happen out there, because certainly if this is going to be a park, there wouldn't be a better use for this than what he's planning on doing. Parks all across the state and the country have RV hookups, and they have cabins even for people to stay in. I mean, we see that in state parks, city parks, and national parks. So the city isn't opposed, I don't think, from the standpoint that this is going to be something that's going to affect. What they are opposed to is they want to control. They want a land grab. They want to be able to get Doug to bring his 250 acres and Finch's 60 acres and whoever else that they can get. And then they want to have a big chunk of land, and then they want to take my 60 acres, and they want to take my mother-in-law's 10 acres, all the people that want this to stay in the county. that we bought 40 years ago to enjoy this kind of environment. And it is beautiful, and it is very country-oriented, you know, and that's what we want it to be, to remain. I have absolutely no problem with this kind of development. What a great way for the county to increase its tax bases. You know, it doesn't get any taxes off farmland, but they get it into something like this where there is a greater tax base, where our Kelly Fire Department, the United School District, or other agencies are going to be able to get a little more tax off it and still have that environment that we have there. It's, you know, it's a perfect type of development from what I can see from our family. And our family hopes to be there for as long as we can possibly hold out. I think that is it. The city, you know, has got a lot of problems with this whole southwest part. First of all, they spent $9 million putting in a interchange before they realized that there wasn't really very much land there to develop because of the all of the land that's owned by the Iowa State. So it seems like there's a pressure to try to keep coming back to the west. Well, the main development is going to the north, as you guys are working with the different problems in fringe plans that are developed even for the north side. But in reality, there isn't very much land to develop here, and so they're after trying to get as much as they can. But they have the problem with Meadow Glen as well. And so there's all these different things that are involved. But I think the real deal is there that the city is trying to hold us all hostage until they can put together the landmass that they want so they can bring everybody in at once. So I'm asking you to help maintain our property rights. And I think a development like this would be excellent for that area. Thanks.
Next.
I'm John Moore. I have the property just north of the pond there. I share a borderline with Doug's property right now. And I was just coming to say that I echo almost everything that Kim said right there on both of dealing with the city and their plans to try to annex us and so forth. As far as the particular development here in question, I've been talking to the Perkins quite a while about this and working with them, and they've been very responsive to all of our particular needs and concerns. A main concern, I would say, is not so much traffic mitigation, but at least dust control on the road out there, because it is a gravel road. Insofar as the sound is concerned, again, I'm also a person that goes to these different campgrounds around the area. They're going to be well in excess of 1,000 feet away from our house. I'll be surprised if we can hear anything from there. But again, the main thing for us is the dust control, and then the other thing we've talked about is fencing there, just to ensure, because we've got horses coming into our place up there, and we really don't want to have anybody cutting across our property, walking into town, and going through a horse pasture. And you know, again, they've been responsive to that. We understand that. So I guess with that being said, I'm strongly in favor of this development. Questions?
My name is Jolene Trickle, 2020 Michael Lane, Ames, Iowa. Real quick, I agree with everybody that spoke positively about this development. My husband and I are small business owners in Ames, and we're leaving here very shortly to deal with the planning and zoning about the new zoning possibility on Lincoln Way regarding our business. I was out to this property just last weekend with my son and soon-to-be daughter-in-law, who are hoping to have their wedding there. And it is absolutely beautiful. And growing up on a farm in northern Iowa next to a prairie, I stood there thinking, this is crazily beautiful. And what they want to do with it while maintaining the beauty of it, to me, is a win-win-win-win. And someday down the road, if they should ever choose to develop around it, maybe I've missed something because I'm kind of new into this, but if Perkins owned the land or Doug maintains ownership or whatever, and they allow houses on these surrounding properties, how is that noise not going to affect his property? You know, and all the traffic and all the other stuff that you're talking about this property being. I mean, 500 people at one time, well, if you build three houses on however many acres you talked about, that's going to be a lot more than 500 people and a lot more noise and a lot more traffic. So I am 100% behind this. I think it's a wonderful addition to the city of Ames and the surrounding communities, and I hope that you will agree with everybody here and vote in favor of this project.
Next. Staff, any other comment?
There was one comment made by a property or an adjacent property owner that part of this property is designated city park or parkland. It's actually designated natural resources. So it's the idea of it's trying to protect the tree and the creek area that extends through there. And again, there are specific policies that prohibit any kind of development or improvements within these natural resource areas. The primary designation is urban residential, again, and that's really the main issue here. When we look at conditional use permit application requests, we are required to look at the land use designation. In this case, it's the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The designation is urban residential. We're also to look at the zoning, but we have to look at both. And with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, if the board is thinking that this proposed use, the commercial campground RV park, is something that is compatible with this area, there is a process set out within the Ames Urban Fringe Plan to make a requested change to that land use. Because this Ames River Fringe plan is not the city of Ames's plan. This is a plan that is supported by Story County, the city of Gilbert, and the city of Ames. And as I said, there's a clear process that we are to follow to make changes to the map, land use, as well as any of the policies and procedures in that document.
Thank you. Good question.
Sure.
Thank you very much for your time. I know this is a complicated issue. I didn't appreciate how complicated it was going to be when we looked at this over a year and a half ago. You know, I'm an engineer and I understand codes. I looked at the code. I said, oh, there, right? It's zoned right. It's close to a road. We're good. I'm thinking this is going to be easy. It's not, and I understand that there's a lot of strong feelings on all sides. But here's the thing that I want to keep in mind is that, and I know I've asked multiple times on this. You know, when I started this whole process and I started meeting with the staff, I was like, okay, you know, this is zoned right. And like, well, there's this fringe plan. I'm like, okay, do we have to get City of Ames approval for this? You do not. This is, because it's a conditional use permit, it is strictly up to the Board of Adjustment, right? Does the city give input? Yes, they do. They give input, right? But here's the thing. The fringe plan is not law. Zoning is law. You want to talk about specifics. There are specifics. If you look through all the different sections, it tells you, when we started this process, here's how you go through a conditional use permit application. You do this, and you do this, and you do this. We started off with both. We said, you know what, you should consider these separately, and you should change the zoning law to have cabins. There's a process for that. I go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I am allowed to be heard. The board considers it. They approve. I go to the Board of Supervisors. There is a distinct process for each and every step through here. When I started this, and I even mentioned the fringe plan, I said, you know what, I'm new at this. I'm an engineer. Show me the law that requires us to do this. Where is it written down? I've asked the city this multiple times. It is not written down. And when the property owner asked the city to even consider it, it wasn't that they said no. They're like, we'll look at that over the course of the next 2 years.
The plan is for the future. We all get that. We know what's coming or what might be coming. No one can tell us when. No one can tell us what it's, you know, how soon that's going to take. In the meantime, I am asking that I could use the land that I'm hoping to start a business on for its current legal use. That is what I am asking, and that is the essence of my request. Thank you for your time tonight.
I got a question for Jerry. Jerry, why don't you explain that one more time about the process for the changing things?
Yeah, that was my question also.
Oh, good.
Yeah, again, with the conditional use permit submittal, we are to look at the land use designation as well as the zoning. It's A1 agricultural district. So potentially the proposed commercial campground RV park could work in an A1 district, but we are to look at all the standards of approval and the other things that Emily went through. With the land use, it's a part of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. So it's designated urban residential. So the plan is that it accommodate single-family dwellings. That's a primary intended use. So with a rezoning request, you look at land use planning before you look at the zoning. So with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, any proposed change typically would start with the city of Ames. That's how it's crafted. Any change to the map requires two of the three entities to accept whether or not an application can be submitted for a change. If they get the majority or two of the three, an application is submitted to the city planning and housing staff, and it's brought to this city council for consideration.
So do we have authority in this area?
Well, it's not consistent with the plan, so we're saying that to allow this use, there should be an amendment to the Ames River Fringe Plan to allow it. We're working on three current amendments to the Ames River Fringe Plan right now. North Ames with the proposed residential development that Friedrich is bringing. There's one on the southeast side of Ames on South 69 on a residential development, and then one on West Ames that we're looking at. So there are some active considerations that we're looking at. But to actually make the change, it requires three of the entities to support that change.
Now, when you say three of the entities?
All Story County, City of Gilbert, and Ames would have to approve the designation. Two, it likely would be like a recreational use. There's only one recreational activity land use designation in the Ames River Fringe Plan, and that's the Ames Golf and Country Club.
So even though this is zoned
for parks and rec,
zoned A1 agricultural, our zoning, we don't have authority to do anything in that, even though it falls within the zoning. I guess this is where my confusion is coming from.
It's zoned A1 agricultural district. They can submit an application for consideration, but in our ordinance, in the statute that Emily provided, it says that we are to consider the land use. That's a part of our consideration. We can't disregard what the proposed land use is. And in this case, it happens to be within this Ames River Fringe Plan designated area. And the plan, the vision, which is to be shared with Story County, Gilbert, and Ames, is urban residential. That's the proposed land use. And my point is, if the Board of Adjustment feels that this use is adequate for this location, then there's a process that we should be going through to request a change to that map.
So if we vote to say yay for his proposal, it's still not a done deal until Ames and Gilbert join in on the change of the use.
We are suggesting as staff that if the Board of Adjustment wants to approve this, that the Ames River Fringe Plan designation should be changed to allow the use. That's
okay.
That's how it should work.
Which will be a process that we would have to be directed to go through.
Okay.
So how long of a process, from Mr. Perkins' standpoint, are you looking at?
Part of the issue that was raised is the City of Ames is currently going through their comprehensive plan process, and I think that's part of what the message was. They're going to be looking at the land use designations within the incorporated area of the city as well as the areas outside. So, you know, we've been told that they're going to be looking at hiring a consultant this summer and then likely start on their planning process.
I might also add that there has been a request to change the designation submitted to the City of Ames that was denied previously. And again, all three entities would have to approve the amendment. The City of Ames planning staff has suggested that they would not recommend approval on a designation change to this area.
Could I make a comment on this, please?
Yes, sir.
If we look at, like, the conditional use permit, when I took it to staff for the campground, obviously, they recommend against it. But yet, I still got my day in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission. They listened to it, and they said, you know what? We agree with you. We're going to recommend it for approval to this Board of Adjustment. Even though staff, you know, we disagree on opinion. We agree on, you know, a lot of other things, but on this, we have different interpretations. But here's the thing. I am able to get in front of you and to have you make a decision. With the City of Ames and the Urban Fringe Plan, Doug asked for it, and their response is, you know what, we'll get to it sometime in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's not the same. No. And it's not equal treatment. And if I don't mean to imply that maybe if I had larger financial backing, the city would be more interested in my projects. But looking at this as a potential small business owner, sometimes the process feels less than equal. My point with the board here is that they disagree. I have a different opinion. I'm able to get a hearing. With the City of Ames and the Fringe Plan, I'm not. And yes, if you look at the agreement, the Board of Adjustment solely grants or denies conditional use permits. That is in their agreement, how they divide it out. If we were dividing this land up, yes, the Fringe Plan says we'd have to get approval from Ames. If I was changing zoning, we would have to get approval from Ames. They do not get approval on conditional use permits. That power rests with the Board of Adjustment.
Been on this board for several years, and I'm sitting here trying to roll this around in my mind right now, because to be quite honest with you, I don't think anyone on this board has run up against this.
No.
It
is unusual, I'll agree.
It is unusual.
If I may,
go ahead, Steve.
Let's assume we're all agreed to say yes to the conditional use permit and see what Ames does. Just a thought. Not yet. We got to get some other opinions here.
We have one moment. I would point out, as staff has pointed out in their comments, that the process to be invoked for an amendment to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is also codified in a 2080 agreement, which the City of Ames, Story County, City of Gilbert are a party to. So there is something to it. It's not just pixie dust. There is an actual agreement which the county is a party to. The county negotiated, signed off on all of that. So I realize this is a bit of a conundrum. It's actually procedurally interesting. I understand that the Perkins are sincere in what they want to do. It's not a question of their sincerity or the cabins. The renderings of the cabins were beautiful. Those aren't the issues. There are a lot of passionate discussions here today in support of them. I appreciate that. I get that. I understand why there is communal support for it.
But those aren't the issues to be addressed today. The issues to be addressed are just a lot less fun. I mean, they are. They're not easy. They're not easy issues to address. But the process is what it is. It was supported by the governing bodies of all parties to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and the 2080 Agreement. And Mr. McKay acknowledged that he invoked the first step of the process some time ago and was denied. So he understood what the steps were. He took the first step. He took a bite at the apple and was rebuffed. Well, I hate it as much as anyone, but that is sometimes how government works. Doesn't always feel good, doesn't always feel right. Justice denied is justice delayed is justice denied is an old maxim. A year or two ago, when the process was invoked and the answer was given, well, that really should have set the table for the process of how the Raspberry Hill, the whole development, was approached. The first approach was for the bed and breakfast, and then the event center, and then this. Well, it's clear that it was known even before the bed and breakfast topic was approached, even before that CUP was approached. It was clear that approval for this component of it was not going to be given, approval based on an amendment to the Urban Fringe Plan. So that was known even before the issue of the CUP for the bed and breakfast and the event center were presented to P&Z or to this body. So it's a little disingenuous to say that this would be a surprise, because it was clearly known that there was a process, the process was understood, the process was invoked, and it was denied. It's a distasteful result, perhaps, but it is the result. And these are the only rules that we, the body, all the people in this room, my clients, who are the neighbors most affected, the neighbors to the southwest of the property, who are directly affected by this, it's the rules that they have to play by, too. Same rules that will affect the use of this property will also affect the future use of their property. So that seems like equal treatment for this body to me. And that's my concluding comment, unless this gentleman says something that's relevant.
I appreciate you just giving me one last shot.
I don't have a law degree, but yep. When you did the conditional use permit on the convention center, or the convention site, the city gave you the exact same letter that they gave for this site. They didn't approve it. They didn't like it. They were going to say no. They're going to say no on everything. They said the same thing when YSS was here. Same, almost exact same wording in the same letter. You know, now something happened here that all of a sudden this letter means something more on this one. You've already approved on this property, two conditional use permits that the city didn't approve. You know, no legal action happened. You have to stick up for our property rights here, because the city is just cramming everything down. They're not going to allow Doug to do anything with this property until he agrees to pay for all of the Xenia and bring all the other property in. We need your support here. There needs to be a stand made. And Jerry knows there isn't any legal obligation for you to not approve this. They just, to be nice, you would go to the city. Well, the city isn't nice back. They are not playing ball with anybody. And they're not playing ball with us as owners. And they're not playing ball, I don't think, with the county officials as well. So that's it.
Thank you.
Can I add a comment to that?
Sure.
On the first request with the bed and breakfast and the event venue, the city staff sent a letter stating that they would support it if conditions were
correct.
Supported, which would include annex when the city's ready for the property to be annexed, information about extension of utilities. It was similar language that was set up for the YSS request. I want to mention, too, that since October of last year, we tried to make it clear with Mr. Perkins that of all the things that were being requested, that the campground and the RV park was something that would not be consistent with the urban residential designation. And before you, we have the provision from the Story County Land Development Regulations 90.02, and this is where it comes from. It says, the objective of the conditional use permit process is to encourage compatibility of the proposed development with the environment and with existing and future land uses in the area. So we are required to look at future proposed land uses in addition to zoning.
Thank you. So what you're saying, the first two permits were proper with the cabins,
the breakfast. Bed and breakfast and the event venue was approved.
Okay.
With conditions.
Okay, we've heard a lot. I'm going to close. Any further comments? Okay, board. What do you want to do? Let me add, you know, I understand you're saying part of our position here is we do have to adhere to the law. We are not law interpreters.
No, we are.
Well, we're not. I don't have my legal degree, let's put it that way.
No, I don't either.
And this is, like I said, this is one of the, probably the biggest conundrum that we've run into, because I think if you were to poll us right now, personally, with the exception of the question I have on the water issue, I would concur with your agreement. But again, we have to adhere to what our interpretation of the law and a lot of times what our staff makes your recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And those are only my own personal comments. So.
So typically, if you guys are in agreement, we'll see your suggested comments. Are we going to see your suggested comments again in regards to what they
are you looking for alternatives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are again four alternatives. Staff is recommending denial number three. In this case the recommendation is different from the Planning and Zoning Commission, so I didn't highlight one, if that's what you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
Like we normally do when our recommendation is the same.
Right, and the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval 5-1.
Steve, if I can make a comment.
Sure.
Well, I printed out the thing in red and was looking at a number of situations, and based on what I read, I said it ought to be denied, based on what I read in the report here.
When I read it myself also.
So I think we've looked at some clunky scenarios legally. But as a nearby Ames resident for about 150 years, the what I typically see Ames doing is just plowing forward with housing and apartments. And I guess in this case, it seems like there's a high desire to preserve the trees and the natural environment, even though maybe some of that's been created because of the government programs and so forth. But I would say I'm more in favor than opposed. But I've only been on this board for less than 2 years, and yeah. We've not seen a contradictive scenarios like this before.
And usually when we do, everybody in this room is against what's being proposed. So it's easy.
Jerry, question for you. Yep. You may not want to answer this, but why would planning and zoning approve this? Because they're also governed by the same regulation.
There was not a lot of discussion nor a lot of debate about it, but Emily can provide some notes with regard to maybe how they got to the decision that they arrived at.
Sure. One of the members stated, I guess I'll just kind of go from after the applicant provided his comments, one of the members of the commission stated that she really wasn't concerned about fire. Rural communities are able to work together to take care of that. There was a question about process, about whether or not the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision was the final one. Obviously, it was stated that the decision came to you, and that theirs was a recommendation. Another one of the commission members said they understand the Ames Urban Fringe Plan agreement, but see a difference between like the growing areas of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and an area like this where there's nothing currently proposed.
You were talking about like the Irons area, which was in a transitional area, and that in transitional areas you typically fall to the closest entity, in this case it was the City of Ames, so they were the primary regulator, even though the development plan went to the Planning and Zoning Commission and then ultimately Board of Supervisors. We were had more of a secondary role. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That commission member felt that there was it's a reasonable agreement for areas that are currently growing. The question was asked, would the neighborhood rather see a large subdivision with traffic all the time or this proposed use with occasional traffic? And then it was stated that we have gone through the amendment process to allow permanent cabins, which is what's being proposed here. Another commission member noted that the approval of the text amendment was for the entire county. It wasn't it wasn't property specific, so it wasn't an amendment that was based on this property. It was based for the entire county, so it doesn't mean that the amendment will work on this property. And the approval of the text amendment was based on the idea that if the county can build a cabin at Dakin's Lake and rent it out, that a private citizen should be able to do that as well. Another question was asked about how does something like a commercial campground get established if everyone is saying, well, not here, not now, this isn't the right time, this isn't the right place. And then there was a motion to approve, which was...
It's a pretty good summary.
Okay. All right. What do we want to do?
It is interesting that we have a room full. I'm not sure if we have people in opposition, but typically we don't hear what we've heard tonight and then have the decision that seems very unclear where our role is. So is it true if we were to approve, it still has to go through other Ames Urban Fringe Plan?
We are suggesting, because of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan agreement, that if the Board of Adjustment thinks that this is a compatible use, that we need to get the land use document in order first. That needs to be revised first before you address this conditional use permit. And we need to add also that conditional use permits can be challenged, just like a variance can be challenged within 30 days. Mm-hmm. It can be challenged in district court.
Yeah. Familiar with that, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm. This board has the authority. I mean, you have the authority.
That's why you're there.
If there's disagreements, I won't challenge you. Like the city. Can the city stop this, Jerry?
At this point in time, folks, let us deliberate, please.
My opinion is we need to have a motion, then we vote whether you're for or against it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The motion on the floor.
Oh, I move we accept. Let me look here a minute. I'm still not voting. Approve the conditional use permit for Raspberry Hill Resort Commercial Campground.
You move to approve?
Approve.
There's a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call vote.
Bradke.
Aye.
Miguel.
Aye.
Bruns.
Nay.
Scarlett.
Aye.
There we go.
I'm just trying to think about the motion. You made a motion to approve it, but you voted to deny it?
Yes, I did. And the reason I did that is to give the board a chance to say yay, they're in favor, or nay, they're not in favor.
Yep. It had the motion on the table.
As chair, I couldn't make the motion.
But that's the reason.
Almost here right now. Okay, bye.
He went.
And I wasn't ready.
Thank you, Howard.
That's what you need in motion.
All right, folks. We'll go from there.
There you go.
Okay.
I'm never coming back.
So we've had a couple, believe me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Coach, what other business do you have, Jerry?
We are going to have a busy April.
You healthy, though?
We've got five conditional use permits.
Five?
One is a borrow pit on South Dayton and Highway 30, Peterson Contractors.
Hey, everyone, they have business.
Batch plants on the southwest corner of South Dayton and Highway 30. Asphalt and a concrete batch plant. Matt's has submitted those. There's an organization by the name of One Heart, and they do equine therapy. They're proposing to do a equine therapy on North Ames.
Mm-hmm. They're up in Canterbury.
Yes.
And there's a B-17 Memorial Site monument that's being proposed by Maxwell.
Yep.
Pleasant Grove Church is proposing to add a parking lot and potentially add another detached building.
Where's that may church? Have,
what's that?
Where's the church at?
It's off of
Pleasant Grove. It's northeast of Ames.
Okay.
170th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Didn't we approve an addition for them?
No, it's an older church.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're
right. No, yeah, I don't think so. Because it's a part of the historic registry, I believe. So they in addition to the church itself isn't possible. So
then we might have something from Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park. We're still kind of working through what that is. But that's all that I have.
Jerry, what's the chance of getting a ream of paper from you folks so I can print all of those out when they come in? I like to hold them in my hand and sit on the computer.
A printout of all the documents?
Yeah. I print them out at home. I just need a ream of paper.
Oh. But as you can see, with our conditional use permit, there's a lot of things that we're supposed to address. And if we're going to be adequate in what we do, there's going to be a lot of information.
Are we through with business? Have a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Second.
Who's third adjourn?
Oh.
Now.